voice in the dark, a song that lights up the stars, one breath that gives light, one sovereign in power, who speaks with thunder and fire, one
and exalt today, this Lord's Day. Amen. Well, it's good to have you here, and guests that may be with us, we're very, very honored to have you today. Our prayers that you'll leave these premises having been richly ministered to and encouraged in the Lord. So thank you so very much for being here this Lord's Day. We want to introduce you to more ministries of our church through a brochure that we will put in your hands during our time of welcome. So please educate yourself in that regard and see how you and your household can be further discipled in the Lord through those ministry opportunities. There's also a guest card that we ask you please complete so we can, number one, pray for you. And if you have a specific request, please indicate what that might be on the back side of that card so we can pray for you this new week. Thank you so much for being here. Praise the Lord for the rain, right? And that's answered prayer. We rejoice in that. And a lot of mission opportunities. I'm going to run through these very quickly. First of all, Steve Gillum's class was on mission at the truck stop yesterday. I believe there may be a photo there. There you go. Thank you guys for ministering in the rain. And that's one way of getting the gospel across our land. through truckers who move goods and services all across the United States, here locally and abroad. And so thank you for making many, many touches at the truck stop yesterday. Also, there is a team in Mbale from South Georgia, I believe, a group that's on the field as we speak. And they've already had service there, of course. They're 7 hours ahead of us. Baptized 30, how many? 33. Earlier today. Praise the Lord. Amen. And the Lord is at work there. So please continue to pray for that mission throughout the remaining portion of this week. We certainly rejoice in the Lord's gracious, awesome work there in that region of Uganda. Hallelujah Night is right around the corner. Again, it's going to be on Wednesday the 30th. And again, all Bible study Sunday school classes have been assigned a booth and what have you. And let's be gospel focused, guys. So again, get all your stuff together by all means. But number one on your list needs to be, how are we going to intentionally share the gospel so that everybody who walks on these premises that day, that evening, 6 to 8, in some way, shape, or form is going to be touched in a bunch of ways. All right, so get creative as to how you can share the gospel from your booth to whatever it is that you're doing to expose them to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah Night. And then, by the way, that means that you're not going to be here on the 31st. So if you open your doors to those that come to your front door, there's another opportunity in Jerusalem to share the gospel. We've got materials available that we're going to be providing for you, Gospels of John, that you can put in their little bag and whatever else and share with them the love of Jesus. Again, get creative in that regard as well. Operation Christmas Child boxes are on the table. So let's clear them out. They're plastic boxes this year so the people can use them as a, they'll use them, trust me, in a variety of ways. And there's some new pieces to that. There's a brochure there. Please pick that up so you know how to properly pack the box and then what's cost involved in shipping. So let's be on mission there. It's another worldwide mission endeavor. Today marks 5 years we've been in this building. 5 years, is that not amazing? And here's the thing, just a tad over 3 million left to pay. God has been so gracious. Thank you for your stewardship. And think about the number of souls that's already been impacted in a brief period. There you go, little over three. The number of souls that's been impacted in this building just in 5 years. All the buildings in this facility, on this plant. And so may we continue to be Great Commission focused and minded, and may many more people come through these baptismal waters having been renewed and restored in their relationship with the Lord Jesus, revived in their relationship with the Lord Jesus, and may many more souls come to know Christ here and abroad in our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost. Amen? So praise the Lord. Your verse this morning, we're a word-based church, and so we want to put the Word of God in your hand as you walk in the door. Oh, and just let me say quickly, thank you for your expressions of happy anniversary. Next Saturday, 34 years of marriage, 5 years of engagement. I've known her since the sixth grade, so a long time. But I could not do what I do without my wife. Thank you, Lisa. I love you in the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ecclesiastes 12:13, the end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God, respect him, be in awe of him, keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. What a word. That's a good scripture to keep before us at all times. This is the whole duty of man. Today, may we sit ourselves and still ourselves before his powerful word that can and will do a work in your individual life if you open it up to him. Amen. Let's pray that prayer this morning. Ask God to do a work, for his word to do a work in your life. Leave here a changed person, and for God to do something here today only he can do. You pray, and then I'll close this out. Lord Jesus, we are indeed so grateful and thankful for the privilege and opportunity we have to assemble here without fear of persecution. Therefore, we pray for those brothers and sisters around this world who cannot openly meet as we are today, this Lord's Day. I pray you'll protect them, hedge them, shield them, and Lord, use them even in spite of the closed-door opportunities in their countries, in their environments, in their cultures, to Lord, still expand the kingdom. May we be obedient to expand the kingdom, Lord, exposing the good news of Jesus here and abroad. We pray for the touches that was made yesterday at the truck stop, and we ask that God, those gospel seeds would come to fruition. We pray for the Mbale team, Lord, where the word has already gone forth, the Lord, it would be digested in the hearts of the hearers, and may you continue, Lord, to expand your kingdom. There in Mbale and Namabasa, we pray for Pastor Fred and the team that's on the ground, Lord. May you use them the remaining portion of this week for kingdom impact. Lord, we pray for Hallelujah Night, that, Lord, as people come on these premises, that, Lord, they would know and sense and feel the love of the Lord Jesus. And, Lord, use us to expose them to the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for the number of souls that have been impacted through this building, these premises, these grounds, Lord, in just a few brief 5 years. Lord, may you continue, God, to use Rootville Road Baptist Church to impact the world with the good news of Jesus. Burden us accordingly, I pray. Change us today as only you can do. And Lord, we exalt you, we lift you up so that we would all be drawn to you, Father. Pray for families in our church, Lord, who are transitioning through the homegoing of their loved ones. May you continue to be faithful to them, Lord, each and every awakening day. We love you. We thank you so much for loving us in Jesus' name. In the church said, amen.
Let's sing that chorus, church.
More than ever before.
Lord, I love you.
Lord, I love you. More than ever before.
Lord, I need you.
Lord, I need you. More than
in love with him today than you were yesterday.
That's right.
And you can continue in love with our Lord. Oh, how we need him, don't we? Our country needs him. Our families need him. Our friends need him more than anything above everything else. Amen, church. Guests, we're so honored that you're here. You are special to us. We want to greet you and get to know you a little better. We have a packet of information for you. It tells you about the church. The pastor's already shared all that information with you. If you will, take that card and fill it out. Drop it in the offering plate for us today so we can have a record of your visit. We would greatly appreciate it. Members, will you please stand and turn around and find all those guests around you. Don't overlook anybody. Make sure you shake their hand. Tell them that you're glad to see them today. Move around the church house today. Just have a wonderful time of fellowship and love one another.
Oh.
clap of praise. Aren't you thankful for how powerful he is today? How great is our God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless our offering today. Lord, we love you today. And how great and mighty your name is. How powerful you are in this place. And oh Lord, I pray right now for those that do not have peace with you. Oh, how I pray that they'll reach out and touch the hem of your garment. That they will realize you are the one true God. And that you are great, Lord. And you are greatly to be praised. And that through you they might be saved or they might draw closer to you. Lord, how I pray that your Holy Spirit today will speak a word to every heart. That they might draw ever closer to you. And God, I ask that you bless this offering we're about to receive. Lord, we pray with a thankful heart today with how your people have been giving. And Lord, how I pray we never lose sight of the wonderful privilege to give of our tithes and our offerings to you, Lord. And it's by you that all of these blessings come. And Lord, may we never forget that. Bless, anoint every gift and every giver today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There's nothing better than being able to sing God's word and to sing the scriptures. Today we're going to sing Psalm 23. And as you recognize these words, may it minister to your heart. May it penetrate deep within the recesses of your life to realize that God is your shepherd and he is the wonderful, mighty King. Sing it for us, Eric. Thank you. that we can go and rest, Lord, in your presence. That no matter what comes our way, no matter what we face, no matter what we deal with, Lord, that your word has promised you will always be there, and that you will always be true, and that you will do a mighty work in our hearts and our lives through any situation that's put before us. Lord, I don't know who's hurting today. I don't know who may be going through a health trial, a sickness, a situation, a marriage situation. But God, I know they can turn to your word and find comfort and find peace today in Psalm 23. Lord, I pray that you'll just move in our hearts today. Oh, Lord, we love you. We thank you and we praise you for all you've done in this wonderful place. In Jesus' name. Can you sing it with me, church?
Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me all my days, and I will dwell in
where?
Your house forever, and bless your holy name.
And sing this with us, church.
Probably one of the most familiar passages in Scripture is indeed the 23rd Psalm, and how fresh it has been brought our way this morning. Amen. Thank you so very much, choir and ensemble, for ministering in such a phenomenal way in a great passage of Scripture. Well, we began a new series last Sunday, The Second and First Coming of the Lord Jesus. And living faithfully today while we wait for our glorious tomorrow, all right? And today I want to talk about who do you listen to? Who do you listen to? We'll be in Acts 1. Acts 1. While you're turning there, I want to advertise a new series I'll be starting Wednesday. Who owns you? Or who owns who? The Christian and his possessions. And we're going to talk about, is it the Savior or stuff? And there's the next few weeks we'll be looking at this topic in a variety of passages. It's going to be a great series. Looking forward to sharing it with you. Who owns who? All right, take your Bibles and turn with me, Acts chapter 1. And a familiar passage, we touched on this and used this passage last Sunday in some respects of our study. And I wanted to kind of use this as our launching pad this morning. May we stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy inspired word, Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Acts 1, verse 4. The Bible says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for what? for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard of me. What do they hear? Well, they remember and they're reflecting, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Meaning that he's fixing to depart, and when he leaves this earth physically, he's going to put in them, as we experience today, the indwelling Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not something you get down the road. No, you get it the very second you ask Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Can you believe it, after all that they've just seen and everything else, that they were still thinking that there's going to be a political kingdom? Trust me, politics is not going to redeem us. Amen. So he said unto them, verse 7, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, picture this scene. While they beheld, they're standing there all together, and all of a sudden, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. Last sight of Jesus right there, physically. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Now here comes two angels. I mean, you're just seeing all kinds of stuff here. I mean, you're talking to Jesus, 1 second, the next second, he's gone, and now all of a sudden two angels appear, and they say, a very good question, you men of Galilee, why stand? Now, if you're standing, what are you doing? Nothing, right? I mean, you've ever told your kid, why are you standing there? Don't just stand there, do something. How many times have those words crossed your lips? And so, why are you gazing up into heaven? This, where am I at? Verse, yeah, here we go. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. That right there, friend, is our hope. That's what I'm waiting on. How about you? That's what I'm waiting on. And by the way, the next time he comes is not his second coming. He's just coming in the clouds to get us out of here, the church. The second coming comes after the Great Tribulation. It's easy to get those confused. But I'm waiting on the cloud appearance. This is the living word of God. Father, we rejoice in that blessed hope for which we just read, and know that it's going to happen for sure. As we study this topic, may your Holy Spirit illuminate even more powerful truths that are ours. Lord, I pray for the believer to be here, that's here to be encouraged, challenged, for the lost soul to come to know Jesus. I stand before you and I confess, I am not at all able, capable of bringing your word this morning. Only through your Holy Spirit, only, Lord, through your empower, only through your anointing, may the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your glorious sight. Use your word to do its work. Most of all, may you be glorified in and through the preached word. May we respect you and your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So today's message is kind of a view from a 30,000-foot level regarding this subject matter of the second coming, first coming of Christ. We're going to get to the first coming at Christmas time around December. You know, at regular intervals throughout world history, fear of what might happen in the future has prompted many individuals to latch onto a particular date for Christ's return and plan some radical action to take on or before that date. Date setters. I found this in my study. Let me read this one to you. This goes all the way back to 1843, mind you. In 1843, there was a New Englander named William Miller who came to ardently believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, he began to speculate about the date of that return using some dubious mathematical calculations. So he collected mounds of data, analyzed it, was certain that he had made no mistakes. He therefore confidently announced to his followers that on March 21st, 1843, Jesus Christ would return to the earth. Historical records tell us that a comet streaking across the night sky helped to confirm Miller in his delusions. At midnight on that appointed day, his devoted followers donned their, what they called, ascension robes. They put on these ascension robes, trekked into the mountains, climbed towering trees to get high as possible so they would have less distance to travel through the air when the Lord returned to take them home. But as we all know, that day came and went. The Lord did not return, and the trees became awfully uncomfortable. Can you imagine? And so a dejected band of Millerites, they told them, called themselves, trudged home to a late breakfast on March the 22nd, accompanied by jeers and catcalls of their neighbors and friends. It was a sad and bitter day for these deeply disappointed men and women. But William Miller, he was not a man to give up easily. He immediately went back to the scriptures and found a mistake in his calculations. Why, he had miscounted by 1 year. 365 days off. And so the Millerites once again robed themselves, climbed trees, and awaited the Lord's return 1 year later to the date. Once again, being very disappointed. And so by this point, the angry Millerites had had enough. You can clean twigs out of your hair and bear vicious mocking for only so long. William Miller's followers quickly dwindled to almost nothing. Most of his disciples turned their hearts away from their sincere but deluded leader, and infinitely more tragic, turned their hearts away from God. To his credit, Miller himself soon repented of this date setting and publicly admitted he had made a terrible error, not merely in his calculations, but in his foolish attempts to name the date of Christ's return. By then, of course, he had demolished his credibility along with the faith of many of his Ernest Weil followers. You know, even in our own generation, we've seen many important dates come and go. There is the guy, his name was Edgar Wisenant. You may remember this, some of you guys, back in 88. He wrote a book, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 1988. And his book created a furor of interest, selling 4.5 million copies. But again, he erred, and then he come back with a follow-up called The Final Shout and predicted that the Lord would come back in 1989. Wrong again. Some of you might remember the old, back in 92, the Harold Camping days. I remember Harold Camping was on the radio, and boy, he was just all blasting off when the Lord was going to return. He refused all kinds of, confused all kinds of people with calculations again. So there are all types of date setters that have come and gone. And the fact of the matter is, we've already been told, right here. All we have to do is look to scriptures. Our authority is God's word, not human thought, but it is God's word to guide us and to direct us and to prepare us for our Lord's glorious return. Therefore, it leads us to the foundation of this message, and that is our main idea, plain and simple. It just kind of came to me plain and simple, and so here it is. The Lord God's word stands true. We can trust him. And that's what we're going to see unpacked today. The Lord God's word stands true, therefore we can, not might, but we can trust him. So with that foundation having been laid, I want us to look into the perfect word of God and see some timeless truths that validate the return of our Lord. Now last week we looked at how he's going to return. Quick review of last week's outline. He shall come forcefully, he shall come suddenly, he's going to come personally, he's going to come gloriously, he's going to come royally, he's going to come eternally, and he's going to come joylessly. So we looked at all of those, unpacked that last week. If you missed the message, please go online and get a listen, because each one of these kind of just builds. But in our day and age, there are many voices that are predicting the future. Matter of fact, this was so crazy. I was going through the paper, this was on Thursday's paper, and this caught my eye, having notated this message, prepping for the end times. I promise you, that's the headline, prepping for the end times. And I thought, oh, wow, man, thank you, Lord. This is a great illustration. I mean, it's hot off the press, needless to say, Thursday's paper. And there's this thing called Fortitude Ranch. It's a cabin for vacationing, but it's also going to be a shelter for the surviving. And it talks about in the good times, the treehouse of Fortitude Ranch is a place for children to play. But in bad times, Miller, he's the guy that's headed all this up, he said it's going to be a guard tower. In good times, the mountainous landscape offers an inviting place for hiking, zip lining, and disc golf. But in bad times, the ranch's wooden slopes would become fields of fire to protect the camp's inhabitants from those most dangerous threat. What's the most dangerous threat? Other people. It's just human nature, Miller said. The worst enemy you face in a pandemic could very well be your neighbor. There's one voice we listen to, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord certainly knows more about the future than any other authority known to mankind. Why? He created the future, for heaven's sake, right? So, I want to make four claims about Jesus' relationship to the future. Number one, Jesus referred to the future often. He referred to the future very, very often. He frequently spoke of future events in his discussions and in his discourses. And what was known, probably one of the most famous ones, is known as the Olivet Discourse. It's recorded in Matthew 25, and it's called the Olivet Discourse because it was delivered on the Mount of Olives. And so Jesus there, he laid out his vision of events to come, and he concluded by telling his disciples this, quote, "See, I have told you these things beforehand." I've told you these things beforehand. He wanted them to know ahead of time facts to help them and us face the coming days. Mark chapter 12, verse 23, he said something similar. "But take heed," talking to his disciples, "see, I've told you all things beforehand." Jesus was in the habit of preparing us for the future even during his days on this earth. Two, Jesus rebuked for not knowing about the future. Not only did he refer to the future often, but behind that, he rebuked for not knowing about the future. So due to the importance of needing to know what lies ahead, therefore, and be prepared, he rebuked those who didn't see its importance. I think one of the most scathing scenes, this is good, is found in Luke 12, verses 54 through 56. Luke 12, 54 through 56, notice the passage. "Then he also said to the multitudes, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, oh, a shower is coming, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there's going to be hot weather, and there it is. Hypocrites! You can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it you do not discern the time," referring to the Lord's return? Isn't that amazing? He's like, you know, and you observe the weather. I mean, but you know, you have no clue about the Lord's return. I bet you one conversation has transpired even this morning, probably amongst men. You ladies could give a flip about this, but most men do this, older guys probably. Younger kids could care less as well, but it's your rain gauge. How much rain did you get? Well, I got an inch and 35/56 of an inch. And I'm like, man, they got it down. It's amazing how they do it, right? Am I right? Well, I got, it's like they're going to beat each other at how much rain they got in their rain gauges. It's the season of life. But anyway. But then, so we can tell about all this weather. That's just one example about the weather. But then you don't even know when the Lord's going to return. You have no clue. The Bible instructs us to always be looking for the day of Christ's return, not with wild-eyed speculations fueled by our own calculations as the Millerites, but with a sober, spirit-led discernment. I mean, what else would the Bible mean when it says, we quote this a lot, but there's one little section of this passage that we preachers quote a lot that we leave off, which is so important. It's Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. It talks about, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Here it is. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. And that's a given. We should not forsake the assembling of ourselves, church. But he says this, and so much more, as you see the day approaching. What does that mean? Church, it means that as we are getting closer and closer to the Lord's imminent return, that means we should be meeting more. But what's happening to the church today is we're meeting less. God says, no, that's wrong. We're counseling services right and left. Many churches, they only meet, if many only meet Sunday morning. They smother Bible studies throughout the week if people even show up for them, and there's no more Sunday night stir, for revivals are a thing of day gone by. I mean, it's just, the Lord's saying, no, the church for which I bled and died for. You've got it all wrong. You've got it all backwards. No, you're supposed to be meeting more as we approach the day of his blessed return. Brothers and sisters, we cannot remain ignorant of the signs of the times simply because thoughts of the future may make you uncomfortable. I don't know about you, but for the bona fide follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, no, thoughts of his return does not make me uncomfortable. It makes me very comfortable. It makes me excited and thrilled that I'm looking forward to his return. The third thing